13. The Front Porch. The Torrance family stood together on the long front porch of the Overlook Hotel as if posing for a family portrait, Danny in the middle, zippered into last year's fall jacket, which was now too small and starting to come out at the elbow, Wendy behind him, with one hand on his shoulder, and Jack to his left, his own hand resting lightly on his son's head. Mr. Ullman was a step below them, buttoned into an expensive-looking brown mohair overcoat. The sun was entirely behind the mountains now, edging them with gold fire, making the shadows around things look long and purple. The only three vehicles left in the parking lots were the hotel truck, Ullman's Lincoln Continental, and the battered Torrance VW.
"You've got your keys, then?"
Ullman said to Jack.
"And you understand fully about the furnace and the boiler?"
Jack nodded, feeling some real sympathy for Ullman. Everything was done for the season. The ball of string was neatly wrapped up until next May 12th, not a day earlier or later. And Ullman, who was responsible for all of it, and who referred to the hotel in the unmistakable tones of infatuation, could not help looking for loose ends.
"I think everything is well in hand," Jack said.
"Good. I'll be in touch."
But he still lingered for a moment, as if waiting for the wind to take a hand and perhaps gust him down to his car. He sighed.
"All right. Have a good winter, Mr. Torrance, Mrs. Torrance."
"You too, Danny."
"Thank you, sir," Danny said.
"I hope you do, too."
"I doubt it,"
Ullman repeated, and he sounded sad.
"The place in Florida is a dump, if the out-and-out truth is to be spoken. Busy work. The Overlook is my real job. Take good care of it for me, Mr. Torrance."
"I think it will be here when you get back next spring," Jack said, and a thought flashed through Danny's mind. "But will we?" And was gone.
"Of course. Of course it will."
Ullman looked out toward the playground where the hedge animals were clattering in the wind. Then he nodded once more in a businesslike way.
"Goodbye, then."
He walked quickly and prissily across to his car, a ridiculously big one for such a little man, and tucked himself into it. The Lincoln's motor purred into life, and the taillights flashed as he pulled out of his parking stall. As the car moved away, Jack could read the small sign at the head of the stall, "Reserved for Mr. Ullman, Manager."
"Right,"
Jack said softly. They watched until the car was out of sight, headed down the eastern slope. When it was gone, the three of them looked at each other for a silent, almost frightened moment. They were alone. Aspen leaves whirled and skittered in aimless packs across the lawn that was now neatly mowed and tended for no guest's eyes. There was no one to see the autumn leaves steal across the grass but the three of them. It gave Jack a curious, shrinking feeling, as if his life force had dwindled to a mere spark while the hotel and the grounds had suddenly doubled in size and become sinister, dwarfing them with sullen, inanimate power. Then Wendy said,
"Look at you, Doc. Your nose is running like a fire hose. Let's get inside."
And they did, closing the door firmly behind them against the restless whine of the wind.